The most profound spiritual teachers of all time say the same thing in different ways. Quiet the mind and listen within. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've been asking the same question. Can it really be that simple? This blogcast is about my journey to the answer. I am Kayla Corsiglia, and you are listening to Intuition Academy. Hello, my beautiful friends. I am so excited to talk about this topic today. It is something that I am incredibly passionate about and that my understanding of is continuously developing, as I'm sure the majority of us are. So, the thing that I want to touch upon before I get into the episode today is that the law of attraction and manifestation are two topics that have been really, really pounded into the ground by a lot of different creators in recent years, especially in the last 10 years. And if we look at the basics of where this all began, it all began with people like Napoleon Hill writing Think and Grow Rich, or the teachings of Abraham Hicks, or the movie The Secret, which is, I know, where a lot of us started our law of attraction manifestation journeys. And since then, there's been a huge wave of people who are attempting to teach manifestation and law of attraction techniques. And in my opinion, a lot of it feels a lot like dissatisfactory content to me, which is why I'll consistently go back to people who I find incredibly inspiring. Or it's what, if you're familiar with Abraham content, Abraham refers to it as people being on the leading edge. People who are on the leading edge of this type of work. And so that's people who go to Abraham Hicks conventions, and those are people who listen to Jess Lively. This is all my perspective and my opinion, by the way. There are people who, I'm so sorry if you can hear this really loud motorcycle in the background. My God. Why? Anyway, I'm not even going to cut that out. I'm going to laugh if no one can hear that. Okay, so anyway, in my perspective, there are different categories of creators who are teaching things like manifestation and law of attraction. There are people who are on the leading edge, and then there are kindergartners. I would categorize something like The Secret and the majority of the content that you're going to find on the internet from people who are calling themselves manifestation coaches, I'm going to put and bulk almost all of that, like 90% of that, into kindergarten or manifestation. Kindergarten manifestation. There's a reason why we don't continuously go back to those creators, because they're usually like very simple techniques that they're teaching. We've heard it all before. It's like, yeah, great, but like there's got to be more than that. We're always looking for the next level of manifestation. And that's why we'll continuously go back to creators like Jess Lively or Abraham Hicks, or we'll go back and reread Think and Grow Rich, because those people who are teaching those techniques were on the leading edge. They were the ones who were asking the deeper questions, the bigger, larger questions. They were asking about the entire spectrum of living life within the law of attraction, not just trying to manipulate circumstances and people and our life in order for everything to go the way that we want it to, but rather these are people who are like, how can I experience joy without needing to manipulate the world around me? That's my perspective. How can I find acceptance, peace, joy in the moment while still asking for everything that I want, still receiving it, but not needing to change anything about the way the world is behaving and performing? These are the deeper philosophical questions, the ones that are, it's like that hunger for deeper questions. And this is something that, again, if you're familiar with Abraham Hicks, this is how they described Jerry Hicks before he passed. He was hungry for questions. He wanted the answers, and he found a lot of them from Think and Grow Rich, but then also by the work of Abraham later in his life. And this is how him and Esther Hicks were able to create the life that they desired. This is why you can look at people like Jess Lively, who's very much on the leading edge, and she seems to have everything that she desires, but also to be content and to not focus her perspective or her attention on things that are dissatisfying to her. These are people who are evolved in a totally different sense. They're the ones who aren't going to gossip. They're the ones who aren't going to focus on inflation or on the wars that are going on in the world. They're not going to spin negative stories about different demographics or Republican versus Democrat. And they're the ones who are just constantly focusing on the good in the world. And I think a lot of them get a lot of bad credit because of that, because that can be really triggering when there's so much negativity going on in the world, to feel like Abraham Hicks always says, like sticking your head in the sand. They say you're just sticking your head in the sand. And she says, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. And my life is better for it. So this technique is for the 10% who are asking the deeper questions, who are on what we would consider the leading edge of the work, the ones who are not just looking for simple techniques like, I don't know what the modern day like simple manifestation techniques are, but this isn't just about positive thinking. This isn't about just manifesting or visualizing what we desire in the morning. It's not about a special technique. Like I've heard of people using like a certain eye technique in order to create manifestations. Like this isn't about any of those wonky techniques. This is about very basic and practicable technique that is nothing new. It's nothing new. This is just maybe being expressed in a way that you haven't heard before, because that's really all that we can do here on these topics, is try and understand it a little bit more deeply than we did before. And that's the reason why we continue revisiting the work and revisiting the work, is because we're trying to understand it at a deeper level. And so my hope in recording this today is that I can help each of you who is interested and who is asking those deeper questions, hopefully to help you understand it at a deeper level than maybe before you listen to this. So this is not a technique for the novice, because there is a lot of nuance to deeply utilizing the law of attraction and manifestation. This is for the experts, self-proclaimed experts. Like, I don't care if you're brand new to this or if you've been doing this for a long time, self-proclaimed expert. If this resonates with you, then you're the experts who are meant to be here learning the technique. So this is those of us who've been doing this work for a really long time, those of us who understand the language, and those of us who are interested in complete life transformation, complete liberation and freedom, and not just those of us who are attempting to manifest simple things like a text message. That's not what you're going to find with this. This manifestation technique, once mastered, has the power to yield to us whatever it is that we are desiring. That is the entire basis of this: living a more joyful life, receiving the things that we desire. So one of the main reasons that I say this is an expert's form of manifestation is because of the nuances involved. This technique requires an expert level of awareness, attention, and focus, which I call it expert level because the general population of people aren't very good at focusing their awareness on anything in particular, let alone on the things that feel good to them or the things that they're desiring. So this is a practice. It's not something that you pick up for 10 minutes in the morning and set down before going back to living mostly an unconscious life for the remainder of the day. It requires that you have mastered your thought or your mind, or that you at least understand what it takes in order to master those things. And this doesn't mean that you actually can prove to someone that you know how to master your thoughts, but if you have a belief inside of yourself that you know how to tame your mind, how to tame your thoughts, you know the difference between being aware of your thoughts and being aware of your breath, then this is for you. This does not mean that the novice will not be able to practice in this technique and learn it, but I believe that the novice could potentially find themselves with more questions or setbacks than the expert. I hope that makes sense. So The way that I will express this technique is inspired almost entirely by the work of Abraham Hicks. What inspired me to create this episode specifically was my developing understanding of their teachings and finding a new language to speak it to myself, which made it that much easier to understand and practice more deeply than I ever have before. If you're following me so far, you've most likely experienced at this point periods of time in your life where you have taken a break from Abraham content after digesting a lot of it, and then revisiting it in the future with a fresh perspective. And because of that, your understanding of it deepens and you hear it in a more profound way than you ever have before. This is what has happened to me, and it is now my desire that this explanation of the work will help you as much as it helped me in my understanding of the manifestation or law of attraction philosophies. So I'm going to give it all to you now in simple terms, then we're going to go back and talk about it all in depth, step by step. So one, allow yourself to let joy in its purest form be your intent or goalpost that you are reaching for each and every day. This is joy for joy's sake, joy for joy's sake. Number two, allow yourself to experience each day as they naturally unfold. Go to work, spend time with your kids, go to the park, just do what you would typically do. But while you are experiencing your day, allow yourself to be ever aware of any contrast that arises naturally. Naturally is like this whole step. Everything is happening naturally. There is no need to wake up and visualize the things you're trying to manifest. There's no reason to wake up and affirm to yourself that it's done. Just naturally move through the day and allow contrast to come up naturally throughout the day. So, three, allow contrast to naturally occur throughout your day, meaning notice the thoughts, notice the circumstances, and notice the interactions that all cause you to separate from that natural joy in step one, that natural joy that you committed to experiencing that day. So whatever pulls your attention away from the joy and from the things that you're fixating your attention on that feel good, whenever something makes you feel bad, take note of that. But only allow it in a natural sense. Again, this is all natural. Step four, allow yourself to fixate on the contrast only as long as it takes to gain clarity on what your desire is in that moment. I'm going to say that again. Allow yourself to fixate on the contrast, on the thing that feels dissatisfying, only as long as it takes to gain clarity on what your desire is in that moment. Then shift your perspective to the desire and fixate there, but not just thinking a more desirable thought. This is about, again, the nuance of this is noticing the way that all of this feels. You're noticing the contrast, not because of the thought, but because of the reaction that your body is having to the thought. And then the shifting into the desire rather than into the thing that's not desired is focusing on the way it feels in your body when you think the new thought. Because you could easily think something that seems or sounds desirable, like I want to be a millionaire, but how does it feel in your body when you think that? Does it feel like joy? Does it feel like joy? Do you feel like you're back at that joyful place that you started your day at? Do you feel like even a little bit better than when you were thinking the undesirable thought? If the answer is no, then the thought needs to continue to change. You need it to continue tweaking it until you feel better in your physical body. And then step five, once you have shifted the energy on the topic, move back into your day fixating on joy for joy's sake. And so this means you don't need to fixate on visualizing now. You don't have to affirm to yourself or write down a specific number sequence. You don't have to declare it to the world. Just allow yourself to feel the vibrational shift in your body with the emotional changes and then move on with your life. And then number six is continue doing this all day, every day. That is the general step-by-step of what this is in the simplest of terms, which in my perspective can still be considered complicated. But in the simplest of terms, this is the practice. This is the work. Now let's go back and talk about each topic a little bit more in depth. Okay, so we're now going back to step one, which is allow yourself to let joy, in its purest form, be your intent or goalpost that you are reaching for each and every day. This is joy for joy's sake. This is about making it your dominant intent every day to be happy, to experience and to focus your attention on the things that feel good, the things that bring you joy. The trick here is allowing it to be a joy that is not reliant on something happening or not happening. It is not reliant on circumstances flowing a specific way. It is not reliant on someone acting a certain way. It is all and only reliant on the general feeling of joy for joy's sake. You see, there is a difference between experiencing joy because something went the way that you wanted it to go, and then there is joy purely because you are fixating your attention on something that feels good to fixate on. This is the difference between feeling joy because somebody shows up the way you desire for them to, or gives you a compliment, or the store that you love shopping at has that item that was sold out last week. That is all circumstantial joy, and when these moments occur for us in the present moment, we can use that as a fixation of joy. But we don't want to find ourselves reaching for those moments in a day, waiting for them to occur in order to feel good. It might be easier to look at it in the opposite way as well. So, if joy is our dominant intent for each day, that means that even if that person doesn't show up the way we want them to, or doesn't give us a compliment, or that store doesn't have the item that we desire, we are still allowing joy to be the dominant intent for the day. We shift our attention from the things that we do not like about what's happening in the present moment, and we fixate instead on something that brings us joy. And this is what we're reaching for in every moment. This is about taking our attention off that which feels dissatisfying to us and fixating on the good things, on the things that feel good. And because of law of attraction, the more that we focus on the things that feel good throughout our day, the more that we'll notice the good. Again, this is about general joy. Joy that is not reliant on the weather or your husband's behavior. This is a joy that is easily accessible to you, and it is meant to be our intention to experience this joy purely because we want to be happy, not because we need to be happy in order to manifest what we want. Joy for joy's sake has our focus fixed on joy, which, based on the law of attraction, means that we will be drawn to focus on more of that joy in its purest form throughout the day. But joy for the sake of manifestation has our focus on the lack of the manifestation we are attempting to create. I hope that makes sense, because I heard this in a new way and I was like, wait a minute. Okay, that's deep. So joy in its purest form is looking for things to feel joyful about and making that your dominant intent throughout the day, to continuously shift your attention back to the things that feel good. And this doesn't mean, because this leads into step two, but this doesn't mean to ignore all of the things that are going bad. This basically means experience your day the way that you would naturally experience it, but focusing on joy. Okay, so step two is allow yourself to experience each day as they naturally unfold. Go to work, spend time with your kids, go to the park, just do what you would typically do. But while you are experiencing your day, allow yourself to be aware of any contrast that arises. There is no need to wake up and visualize the things you're trying to manifest or affirm to yourself that it's done. Just naturally move through the day. So what this means is that I believe what a lot of us typically do, especially in the beginning of our manifestation journey, we start to believe that we need to do all of these different things in order to manifest what we desire. But if we're shifting from not just trying to manifest a single thing, but instead trying to live a life of liberation and freedom, this is a complete life change, complete lifestyle change. If that's what we're moving into here, then it's not going to do much of anything to fixate on a single manifestation. And fixating on a single manifestation and attempting to manifest it is always going to give us the opposite results. Because fixating on a manifestation, thinking we need to wake up in the morning and manifest, thinking that we need to visualize, thinking that we need to affirm, reading a list of affirmations about it being done and all these things, what's truly occurring in those moments is we're doing that because we think that's what we have to do in order to create the thing. But what we're really doing in that moment is fixating on the fact that it hasn't happened yet. And so moving back to step one, joy for joy's sake, is just being at a vibration constantly of feeling good. And then when moments of contrast in step two naturally occur, we can then go into that moment of contrast, having already established a general feeling of joy throughout the day, which will make it easier for us to shift our perspective on each of these topics, each of these contrasting topics that occur naturally, not because we're attempting to create something else, not because we believe we have to wake up in the morning and make it happen. Because doing all the visualization techniques, doing all the manifestation techniques, all of that, again, is just fixating on the fact that it hasn't happened yet. And so when we're just out there living our lives, experiencing every day as it unfolds, we're more in alignment with it just occurring. We're more in alignment with being in a circumstance or in a moment where we can shift the thoughts a little bit more naturally, or be within the real life experience where we can bump into synchronistic occurrences that are going to lead us toward that thing. And also because a lot of times getting off the subject of the thing that we're attempting to manifest is one of the most powerful ways to manifest. Just letting ourselves desire it and then moving on with our lives, which I'm getting ahead of myself. But step two, like I said, is allowing every day to naturally unfold. And that doesn't mean like living completely inner voice led throughout the day, right? This means just focusing on what you're meant to get done today, the things that experiencing the day, the way the day is meant to be experienced. Do the things that you need to get done, handle the responsibilities that you need to handle. But you don't need to fixate on creating anything in that time period. Naturally allow the day to unfold. And believe me, trust me, you all know this, contrast will present itself as the day unfolds. You will think something and it'll feel bad. And because you're fixating on joy and you're fixating on feeling good and you're fixating on things that feel good and that feel better to you, you're going to notice more clearly when a contrasting thought or something that feels dissatisfying presents itself to you. The general feeling of joy is going to make it really blaringly obvious when contrast is present. And then that's when we move into step three, which is just really noticing that, noticing the contrast as it arises, taking note of it, and noticing the moments and the thoughts specifically that are separating you from the natural joy that you've already been committed to experiencing that day. And then we move into step four, which is allow yourself to fixate on that contrast, on that dissatisfaction, only as long as it takes to gain clarity on what your desire is truly in that moment. Because the reason that we feel bad, the reason we feel contrast in these moments is because we established a desire in this moment and it doesn't feel accessible to us. Or we think a thought that says it's not accessible to me. And we're fixating now on not having it, right? We're vibrating at a different frequency than the desire and its fulfillment. So this is also an aspect of the work that I finally heard in a new and profound way. And that's about emotion, because contrast and joy, let's say dissatisfaction versus desire, or dissatisfaction versus joy or satisfaction, is really just the difference in vibration. So all of us at this point are most likely familiar with energy and, let's say, like a frequency of a sound or a bass, the sound of bass. And if you were to put a tray with water molecules on top of, say, a speaker and you played it, and you were to, you've seen the videos of the people who play certain frequencies that are emitted into the plate, and then you can see the way the molecules of the water or the sand change. The makeup of the vibration or the frequency is then experienced. And that vibration that's experiencing there, the frequency, is the same thing that happens to us in our bodies as we experience something that feels good versus something that feels bad. So every time we create a desire, our inner being holds an energetic alignment with that desire, meaning they're frequently at a state of joy for joy's sake at all times, no matter what. They're at the highest frequency that they possibly can be at all times. And so when we create a desire that's vibrating at the same frequency as them, they hold resonance with that desire unconditionally. Meaning that when we feel a negative emotion, we're no longer vibrating at the same frequency as our desire is. And this is the reason why Abraham will say things like, you have to get into alignment, or you have to get into vibrational resonance with that which you desire, because our bodies are literally vibrating energetically based on the emotions that we are emitting. And our inner beings, our inner voices, our highest self, whatever, is emitting back to us feedback. Like the emotion is our guidance system showing us if we're on the same frequency or not. And so all that contrast really is, if you could just focus on it like it's a sensation rather than this horrifying negative emotion that we need to do something with in order to get rid of, you start to realize that emotion is just a frequency. It's just a message. It's just a message from our inner beings. And all that message is trying to portray is you're not vibrating at the same frequency as the desire that you just created, or the desire that you're now revisiting if it's something that you've wanted for a long time. And so, step four is about allowing yourself to fixate on the contrast, noticing that you started vibrating at a different frequency as what you desired is. And now that you've noticed that physical feeling in your body, you can visit the thought, what was I thinking that made me feel differently than where my desire is? And then you can allow yourself to dive into it a little bit. Okay, it's like if I don't want that, then what do I want? What do I really want? And the beautiful thing about this is that, again, it's all about emotion. It's all about the energy that you're experiencing, or the emotion that you're experiencing as you think these thoughts. Because it could be very simple to think something like, I desire to have a, I don't know, a yacht or something, right? Meanwhile, you have, less than $1,000 in your bank account, and it doesn't feel accessible to you at all. So just because you're stating a desire, something that you do want, like maybe you do want that, but you really don't believe you can have it in that moment. And so the energy or the emotion that you're experiencing in that moment is showing you if you're vibrating at the same frequency as the fulfillment of that desire or not. And if it feels good, then you're vibrating at least in proximity to the fulfillment of the desire. Because, again, law of attraction is nuanced. It is not just like equals like, right? Like draws us to like. It is a ripple effect. It's something that is amplified. It's something that creates confirmation bias. It's like dropping a pebble into still water. It is the original ripple. Is the moment that we feel emotion in relation to our thoughts. So say you think something and the emotion that follows is one that feels good. Okay, then you're dropping a pebble into still water and you're creating a ripple. And that ripple is going to keep expanding outward until it's disrupted by a contrasting thought about the same topic. And once that happens, it's then our job to shift the energy back towards the thing that feels good. It is an amplification. Like when you desire something and you feel good while you're desiring it, you in that moment aren't creating the manifestation, right? The energetic of it is created, but the physical manifestation hasn't been created. Because in order to do that, the ripple needs to reach a certain, like, size in order to get up to the resonance of what the physical manifestation will be. It isn't going to start there. The ripple effect of the desire based in law of attraction is what will create the energy eventually through the amplification of the original desire. I hope this is making sense, because this really made it a lot more clear to me the way that the law of attraction works. It's not just like thinking airy-fairy happy fucking thoughts all day. It is finding joy for joy's sake. And then when you're in that joyful state, you can then witness contrasting thoughts that come up. The joyful thoughts themselves don't matter in comparison to like very specific topics. It's not immediately going to change those topics. But what it does is it makes it easier for you to notice a contrasting thought and then shift the energy back to where you just were on that same topic. Does that make sense? And the desire doesn't need to be fixated on for very long. It only needs to be fixated on until the energy shifts in the body. And then once the energy shifts in the body, you can just move back into that natural state of feeling happy, of feeling joy in general. Because you shifted the energy. Now law of attraction is going to come in and it's going to keep rippling that feeling out. And it's going to keep drawing your attention to better feeling thoughts and better feeling circumstances. And then you're going to be drawn to, you know, this meeting or that meeting. But it all begins the moment, the ripple effect of it all begins in the moment that we have that original desire and we allow ourselves to experience the good feeling thought paired with it. Or to change the direction of thought in like the slightest inkling of ways in order to make it feel better until we find a place that feels a little bit better, because that's where the ripple effect will begin then. So I'll give you a little bit of an example. So let's say I have a moment of contrast, and this happened yesterday, and the manifestation was pretty quick. It was really nice. Yesterday, I woke up and I was feeling like this general irritation, and I was like, why am I irritated this morning? It's weird. Like, I went to sleep feeling good. I woke up feeling pretty good, but then pretty quickly I moved into a little bit of irritation, and I was like, why do I feel irritated right now? And I was like, okay, the reason I feel irritated, I realized, was because I'm desiring to be in a comfortable environment. I want to be able to just like lay around, you know, lazy Sunday afternoon sort of vibes. In beautiful setting where I can relax, maybe read a book. And I was like, I don't really feel like I have that here. And the desire I was also having wasn't just to have it here. It was to have it wherever. Like, it was to have it in like a very specific way. Like, I wanted it to be in a different place than Bali, because I'm attempting to leave Bali in just a short while. And I was imagining the space that I wanted to be experiencing the lazy Sunday afternoon in. And I was like, well, I can't have that right now. Like, I literally can't. Like, I'm still here. And the thing that I'm wanting to manifest, like, legitimately isn't here. I can't have it right now. And so I was feeling like the vibrational discord because of that. I was focused on the absence of what I desired in that moment. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna like trick myself into thinking that I'm there, right? Because I'm not. I'm smart. I'm not a stupid person. Like, I understand that I'm not there right now. And so what can I do to just make myself feel a little bit better on this topic? I don't even have to make myself believe that I can have that right now, because I know that I can't. And so I was like reaching for the simplest shift in thought and recognizing and noticing the way that these thoughts would feel in my body. And so the first one I tried was something like, well, even if I can't have it now, I know that I can have it later. And that didn't feel good in my body, because I was like, I don't know. I have no idea if I can have it later or not. And I was like, okay, so that's not the right thought. I was like, And then I went as general as I possibly could with it. I was like, I believe in energetics. I was like, that feels better. Yeah. I believe in energetics. I believe that when I have a desire, it is immediately created in the energetic world. I was like, yeah, that feels a lot better. I do believe that. And I was like, but I don't know how I'm supposed to get it. And then I felt a little worse. And I was like, no, okay, keep going. I believe in the energetic realm. I believe that every time I desire something, that it is created in the energetic world. And I understand that when I feel negatively about that subject, it's because that desire exists. I was like, yeah, that's true. I feel that. That resonates. And so, if it is existing in energetic world, in the energetic world that I've created for myself, if my inner being is in energetic resistance or resonance with it, then that means that all I have to do is allow myself to just feel a little bit better, and then the law of attraction will come back, will swoop in, and I'll get swept into the current, as Abraham says. I'll get swept into the stream, and that feeling, even if it's just a little bit better, will begin to amplify over time. And as I live my life naturally, and as I move about my day, and maybe more contrast presents itself, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe I start noticing tiny little minute things throughout the day that feel a little bit better, and that'll just happen naturally. And so you see, it was like the tiniest little bit of thing, and I was noticing the way that it felt as I said each of these things. And as I began noticing even the smallest little twinge of better feeling in my body, I allowed myself to follow it in the way that I was speaking about it to myself until I felt like I was at a place that felt like, okay, I've changed the energy now. And now we move into step five, like I said, which is once you have shifted the energy on the topic, move back into your day, fixating on joy for joy's sake. And so now that I shifted the energy, even just a little bit, I trusted and I felt better in the knowing that law of attraction was creating a ripple effect. And that now that I shifted the energy just a little bit in the other direction, that I could just let go and I could move back into feeling good just for goodness sake. And that naturally, that thought will continue rippling out in a positive way. And that I can pick that up again throughout the day. If contrast presents itself again, I can shift it back in the other direction. And so it becomes this dance of continuing to do this all day, every day, about whatever contrast presents itself. And the reason that we fixate on joy as the beginning factor of the day is because it's not that, because this is another misinterpretation I had for a long time, was okay, so you fixate on joy, and that means that everything else just sort of falls into place eventually. And that's not necessarily not true, but there's nuance to it. Like I said, the nuance is that it makes it easier when you're in a natural state of joy throughout the day to then grab hold of contrast, to notice it, and to be able to shift back into the vibration of joy that you just were, but now on this topic. It's like fine-tuning the energy of each of these topics as they occur to you naturally throughout the day. There's no forcing there. It's just, can I shift it even just a little bit? Because shifting it just a little bit means that I'm now in the current. I'm being pulled in the other direction. I've stopped paddling upstream, as Abraham says. I've let go. I'm going the other way. I'm going to let law of attraction continue to take me to a more positive place on this topic. And that doesn't mean I have to force it. That doesn't mean I have to do much of anything about it other than the initial turning of the energy in a different direction. And even just the tiniest minute difference of energy, the tiniest minute difference in the way that it feels, thinking a thought on that topic is enough to get the energy moving in the direction that we're wanting to go, which is to resonate with it more at that place of joy. So the general joy that we're reaching for at the beginning of the day and that we're continuing to focus our attention on all day is so that, one, because who doesn't want to live a happy life? And two, so when contrast presents itself, it's easier for us to shift back into the vibration that we've already been vibrating at all day long. And it's easier to notice when we're not there anymore. So the magic here is all in awareness. And that's why I said this is expert level. It's not easy to be that aware throughout the day, but it's possible. And you see the people in the world who are able to live this way on a frequent basis. I was actually dipping into my own inner being and asking questions about this recently. Like, for instance, but is this going to be like a conscious effort that I'm going to have to make at all times? Like, that feels like very, like a lot of energy to exude at all times throughout the rest of your life. And basically the answer I got was no. It's just as long as it takes to create the new habit, you get so swept up in the energy of it that it's happening naturally. And you don't have to think about it anymore. It's just that's the natural state of your thoughts. It's like shifting a subconscious pattern in the mind. And the answer that I heard was it takes like 21 days of being able to practice this energy, but I'm sure it's different for everyone. That's just what I heard for myself. The other question that I found really interesting about this topic was I found myself asking a question. I was like, okay, so like how could, say, somebody who has an exuberant amount of wealth, like why can they have like a shitty day, a shitty week, a shitty month, meaning that they just like don't feel good in all of that time, and like that doesn't affect their wealth at all? Like why can that happen to them but it doesn't happen to any of us? Like I generally have always held the belief that if I have a shitty week, that's affecting my income negatively. And the answer that I got was really interesting, and it was that the energy of what this wealthy person is feeling sad about is separate from the energy of their wealth, meaning they're most likely upset or feeling shitty or down and out about something that does not have to do with their wealth at all. They most likely have created such a subconscious patterning in their minds about their wealth, and the general shitty feeling that they're experiencing is not going to affect the wealth because of that, because the energy that they've established within their wealth is holding strong. It doesn't need their focused attention at all times because it's already an established habit. It's already like a neurological pathway in their mind, right? In their brains. And so having a shitty day doesn't mean that they're automatically going to lose all their wealth. I think this is one of the biggest nuances in law of attraction. It's that, and again, this is why I call, say, The Secret as the kindergarten level, because they portray it as if you feel good all the time, then only good things will come to you. And it's like, no, that's literally step one. Allow yourself to feel joy at all times. But you feel joy at all times, one, because it feels fucking good, and two, because it helps you fix the contrasting thoughts as they arise. It helps you better sort of operate on the invalid energy or the error of the energetic experience that you're feeling in those moments, but not because joy means that you're going that you're going to get everything that you want. Which I mean, it's still joy is the way that most of us want to experience our lives, right? Reaching for joy, there's nothing wrong with that. But believing that we can be in a general state of joy and thinking that, okay, that means that I'm going to get everything that I want, everything's going to get fixed magically just because I'm happy, it's just not true. The truth is that we have to be able to learn how to manipulate these energies that we've been unconsciously sort of exuding for our entire lives. And it's just easier to go at those thoughts as they originally naturally occur in the moment when we're in a better vibrational place. It's just like, it's easier. I think of it as two tuning forks, right? Or tuning a piano or a guitar. And like really old school, right? You tune the fork, you put the tuning fork on, and then you tune the piano or the guitar until it resonates with that energy. And yes, some people can tune by ear, that's fine, but it's a lot easier to have a tool that's going to help you tune. And so being generally happy, focusing on unconditional joy, making joy the dominant intent, makes it a lot easier for us to tune the energy of the things that feel discordant within us as they occur. And like I said, it's all nuanced, like nuanced in the sense that it's just a little bit complicated for people who don't understand. And there are probably layers to it that I'm not even understanding in this moment, and that 10 years from now, I'll go back and revisit like one of my podcast episodes, or I'll go back and I'll revisit an Abraham recording or some of Jess Lively's podcast, and I'll have an aha moment that I didn't have all those years ago. But for now, this is probably the deepest understanding of the work that I ever have. I feel like I'm hearing it in a totally new, fresh way, and it's making more and more sense to me how the people who are living this way are living such incredible lives. And, you know, to give myself credit, I've also been living a really incredible life for the last 4 years, but there are still aspects of my life that I feel dissatisfied with. And not just general everyday dissatisfaction, but dissatisfaction in the sense that I felt stuck there for a long time, if that makes sense. And that's why I felt like this was potentially going to be resonant with the audience of people who listen to my podcast, because I find that a lot of us in this community, we've gotten to this stage in our life where we've been able to transform certain aspects of our life, right? And we're seeing the results. We know this shit works. But then there are other aspects that we look at and we're like, I don't understand why it worked for that and not for this thing. Like, what the hell am I doing wrong? You know? And of course, we all know, like, you can't get there from there. But I know that a lot of us think those things. And I'm hoping that by learning and hearing it in this different way that I've just given to you right now, that you're able to utilize these techniques in a way that maybe you haven't before, or at least have an understanding about why you're guided to do certain things versus doing others. Because I know for me, this has really changed the game, and I have a feeling that the manifestations that I start to create after this are going to be next level in comparison to what I've created before. And I've created some pretty incredible things, just like I know a lot of you have created some really incredible things. So do with this information what you will. I always like to tell anybody that I talk to about these sorts of topics that if it resonates, it resonates. If it doesn't, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You can just throw it in the trash. This is what resonates with me. And if it resonates with you, I am incredibly, eternally grateful for that. If you have any questions about this, because again, I know it's nuanced, I know it's really complicated, and I know that there's a lot about it that feels like a lot, like it's a lot. It's a lot of effort in the beginning, especially because, like I said, a lot of us have probably been stuck on these topics for a long, long time, on some of these topics that we've been trying to change or manipulate or, you know, create something different surrounding. So if you have any questions or thoughts about any of this, please feel free to send me an email or a DM on Instagram. I always leave my email address and the link to my Instagram account on in my show notes. If you want to just look me up on Instagram, it's literally just my first and last name. You can see it in the podcast art, Kayla Corsiglia. You can just search my name and I'll be there. I don't think there's any other Kayla Corsiglias in the world, so should be pretty easy. And if you're interested in working with me, I am going to add my link tree in the show notes, and that will lead you to a little bit of a questionnaire that you can fill out in relation to working with me. And follow me on Instagram. Make sure to like and share these episodes. It really does make all the difference in the world. Make sure to leave me a review if you feel like the content has been profound for you, and I look forward to whatever topic comes to me next to talk about. And until next time, quiet the mind, listen within, and always follow the joy.